This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound.
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brad Hall, number 500. Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this very special edition of Blues NHL Podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in the real talent of the show, Mr. Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, not much, Jim. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Oh, my gosh. You know, this guy comes in here spry and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And now he's going to start. Look at him moving all my stuff around. He knows I'm ADD. I mean, let's leave it alone. I know you probably lack of sleep because of these 8:30 starts, but don't take it out on me, okay?
Telling you what, man, they're taking a toll on me. These playoffs, I can't take much more, Captain.
If Red Bull's listening out there, because as we're looking for more sponsors,
Cromer,
on the
figured
show,
by now, you always talk about all these AB buddies that you have.
Have Red Bull. What do you want from me? They don't have Monster
anymore.
Give
me these make-believe friends of his that can help us out.
Oh, geez.
We're not going to use that.
Here we go.
Bulls is that for you this morning?
All of a sudden, he wears a salmon shirt, and all of a sudden, he's into O'Doul's. You know, like, come on.
I was going to put money on the over how many times you were going to mention his golf attire today.
Yeah, you don't golf.
Hey, Cromer, he has no way to say that from what he was wearing the other night.
That was good.
It might have been tweet of the night.
Brings out his graduation suit.
That was a good one.
I don't care. I stand by it. That was a good looking outfit. I was home team all the way there. I got no problem with that.
The fan that had tweeted us had asked to if you for sure got it back to the Tuxedo Rental place on time.
I got a little extra discount to my
who the hell else is going to wear that now? What's the hurry about?
Somebody must have been waiting for it.
To get you one, Kimby, but when I had to sew two of them together.
It was the top hat was the issue, I think, right?
The top hat. The top hat. Well, in the garbage can, they had to spray paint blue.
Well, as you can probably tell, we're going to have a little fun on the show today. And we've got two very special guests in studio that we want to let's say hi real quick before we get into some Blues breakdown. The other day, I was kind of fishing around on social media a little bit for some fun stuff as things were going really well for the Blues. I've got a friend of mine I've been friends with probably for 30 years. His name's Chris McCullough. Works over there, does suites for the St. Louis Blues. A great guy. He's a great sports fan. Good family man. He's got this beautiful daughter. She's a hoot. I see her on Facebook shooting baskets and doing this kind of stuff. Well, she's obviously a very big Blues fan. So the other day, I see that she goes to school for Spirit Week, and she's got on this unbelievable outfit. So I reached out, and I thought, you know what? We need to get Sophia McCullough in here on audio. So, Sophia, you want to say hi to the audience?
Hi.
You are quite the Blues fan, and we absolutely loved your outfit. That's right. Pump that fist up. I like it. That's right. Let's go Blues. I really enjoyed that outfit. So what was the idea behind that?
When I first went into be like, what sport? I was like, what sport do I want to be for like Spirit Week?
Right.
And I'm like, hockey. So, and then I find my Blues stuff and I put it on, get my pants on, get my stuff on, everything on.
Well, you've got everything on and you look fantastic, and we are glad you're here, and we're going to talk to you in a little bit. I'm going to have you pass the mic over to your little buddy to your right there. You guys will recognize this name. We had talked a little bit on Monday's show about the young gentleman that a couple months ago, out of the kindness of his heart, decided to write a letter to Jake Allen when things weren't going so well. And Mr. Allen saw the letter, and these two have become quick friends. And we thought we'd bring him in and just find out how big a Blues fan he actually is. So let's welcome in Mason Gilbert. Mason, how are you?
Good.
You tell us a little bit about how you became a Blues fan.
I became a Blues fan when I was 2, and I always liked, goaltender. I started to skate when I was 3, and I thought goaltender was the position it was going to be for me.
Now, we talk about this letter that you wrote to Jake. Now, what inspired you to write that letter? What made you want to write that letter to Jake?
No, I didn't really have the idea. My dad had it. Now I was like, maybe you should do it. And then he did do it.
Wow.
And not really nothing else. He just sent me some stuff and did some really cool things, brought me in the locker room and did all kinds of stuff.
Well, your letter, I believe your letter is one of the things that helped Jake probably refocus here. You know, sometimes when we get older and we play these sports and it's on TV and all over the internet and all this stuff, we forget sometimes about how it felt when we were little. And so sometimes it takes a little push in that right direction by somebody who's little to remind us of what it once was. So I think that your little letter and you reminding him of, you know, basically to have fun in there and to go back to just playing goalie probably helped him readjust himself and get back on track. So that was a great job by you.
Well, there was a few people that believed in Jake Allen from the beginning. It was obviously Mr. Mason Gilbert, Marty Brodeur, all the St. Louis Blues, and of course King Kimball over here. Look at him smile and shake his head.
So
we've got these great guests in here. We're going to come back to them in a little bit, but right now, obviously, we're going to break down the game last night. I think a lot of Blues fans were hoping for a sweep. You know, winning 4 games in a row against a tough team, especially in the playoffs, is always a tough thing to do. But we're going to break it down a little bit, talk a little bit going forward. Before we do that, we want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out on BluesNHLPodcast.com. It's where you'll find the podcast. You can check out some back episodes. Kimball always encourages everybody to listen to the back episodes so he can say, listen, I was right about this months ago. He loves to do that. So make sure you check it out, BluesNHLPodcast.com. You can also subscribe to the show through there. Just click on subscribe to the podcast. It's very easy to do. It is free, and you'll get a notification each time we send out the show. I really enjoy all the stuff we're doing on Twitter right now. Playoffs is a time for everybody to really get involved. At STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us there. We're asking you to follow us on Twitter. If you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back because we want to know what you're thinking and want to get involved in the discussion. So at STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us there. Facebook's a great way to communicate as well. We're not limited to the 140 characters. Make sure you follow us, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. You guys are the reason the show has grown. We're asking you when you see the show, if you see some comments, just share them around social media, just in an attempt to help us reach all the great Blues fans out there. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm. You're changing how you listen to what you want to listen to. They're the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. You want to listen to what you want to listen to, how you want to listen to it, and when you want to listen to it. Check out lineupmedia.fm. They take your entertainment time very seriously. Okay, let's get to the guys here and talk a little bit. As a Blues fan, obviously, I would have liked the sweep. I also understand how tough it is. It is the playoffs. I'm going to start out with what I think is the number one question from fans. We see Minnesota come out in a game like that last night, and really, unfortunately, kind of take it to us. And you hear some people say, whether it be, you know, hockey people, whatever, say, well, you knew they were going to come out and throw the kitchen sink at you. The question from a lot of fans is, you're at home, you've got this raucous crowd, you've had this pep rally, the place is going bananas, you have an opportunity. Why wouldn't the Blues be the one to come out and really take it to them? That's something I've never understood. Maybe you guys can enlighten us a little bit.
I think the biggest thing here, Chrome, is what I'm going to look at is this series so far. And the Blues are up 3-0 going into last night. It could be going the other way. And, you know, the guy that we've been talking about all morning here, Jake Allen, basically has the Blues up 3-0. So it's not like they've been dominated. The Blues haven't dominated this series. And so they're up 3-0. They come home, and boom, the first period, Minnesota's basically playing because this is it. We're either going home golfing or we can fight to live to fight another day. And They chose to come out, and the Blues didn't. The Blues didn't answer the what was coming at them. And you know, Jake gets out and he makes a play. And I'm not blaming Jake for it at all. You know, there was a little discrepancy. If it was an icing and all this nonsense, or there was confusion going on. And playoff hockey, and as Jamie will attest to here in a bit, playoff hockey is momentum. It is momentum, and when it swings, the pendulum swings. It's hard to get it back. And living in St. Louis, being in that part of the country, is sort of it hurts the Blues a little bit here as we're going forward, because you got momentum going your way, and now we're going to take a 2-day hiatus here, and then come back the third day. And when you're playing hockey and you get winning and you go on streaks during the regular season, Jamie, and you know this, you want to keep playing every day when you're winning. You want to go every day because things are going your way, bounces are coming your way. So now the Blues, they get a 2-day hiatus, a goal goes in, and that's all they really needed because, you know, they couldn't score for whatever reason. But it's about momentum swings here, so the Blues are going to have to find a way to get it back when they go back there. But, you know, that's the way I look at it, Jim.
Yeah, well, I'll agree on a little bit of what you're saying.
All of it. You
no, 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 no,
all of
no,
it, you no. Somebody separate these
no,
two.
Yerky and I here have did disgusting things here while you were flapping your gums there. And I will agree with the momentum thing. It is certainly, it plays a big part in the playoffs. The 2-day rest, neither here nor there. I mean, both teams had to go through it. They actually, Minnesota made it harder on themselves. They flew all the way back to Minnesota, then flew all the way back to St. Louis. So for me, it's an extra day's rest for some of these guys. I know some of the Blues are bumped and bruised and they're hurting right now. So, you know, for me, the 2-day rest was actually an advantage to the Blues. Where they fell short was, quite honestly, their first 5 minutes of the game turned into the first 10 minutes of the game where they didn't even have a shot on net. And you're at home. And it's unacceptable. You know, Minnesota came out hard in game one and threw everything at them. And we saw the result of that was Jake Allen saved our lives, our playoff lives in that one. And then, obviously, we played a little bit better in game two. And we came out hard in game three. And I really thought that we would match that intensity that we had in game three and come out in game four and really try to put this thing away. But it just seemed like the whole night, guys, like we just couldn't get the engine going, at least not for a consistent amount of time. And so, you know what? It's a long series. We call this the throwaway game. Hopefully this is the throwaway game. And we go into Minnesota. It's an afternoon game. We had great success the last time we played afternoon game against them here. Game three, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back, have some afternoon success in Minnesota, grab the win, get on the plane, head back here, and get ready for the next series.
So everything that I said, he just disagreed with the 2-day break. That's all he did.
Yeah. I disagree with your 2-day break.
He changed the wording a little bit, and he went somewhere else. Well, but he said the same damn thing I just said.
That sounds like a politician.
No, wait. I translated it to English. Okay?
God.
Vote for Rivers.
All you talking about was a 2-day break. I'm telling you that's crap.
I think it hurt some ribs.
And God.
You know, you go on injuries and that. Good. That's good. They're living
so
the same
way. So you want your guys with broken feet out there practicing.
I love momentum.
Twitter alert.
Good Lord.
I like when the goaltender see it. And like I said, and Jake played well still. You know, he had a couple things. But I like momentum. I like if you're going to win, back in the day, we'd go back-to-back sometimes, you know.
I know.
It was. And I'm not trying to go old school here, but when you get flying down that thing, you like to go in the same way, I believe, and you know everything's going there. You're living, you're eating. You know how superstitious people get, and they want this thing to continue to roll, and that's just what I believe in. Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know, but I know that that's the way I like things.
Well, I don't think you're right or wrong.
You see how he said right first?
No, I don't think you're right or wrong. I think it's preference sometimes, you know, and I think it's all situational. So If you do have more guys than not that are injured or bumped and bruised that need a rest, or Jake Allen who might need an incomplete ice bath because he's been shocked with 117 shots before game four, I mean, that's all right, Kimby. You just keep going back-to-back. It's up to you.
I watched it. I watched the best goalies. I played with Eddie Belfour that did this. And
yeah, but Eddie Belfour was a complete nut job. Let's just be honest here. Okay.
No, he's not.
He was a complete nut job.
A focused individual that was coming every night.
No,
yes, he was.
He talked to himself in the shower and painted himself. I'm telling you, he's a weird dude.
Well, you guys obviously played in the league, played in the playoff series, did the whole thing. So let's take this question from an adequately named nervous Blues fan.
I'll give this one to Kimby, then.
I'll take this one.
Well, no, here's the thing.
Debbie Downer.
Here's #DebbieDowner. Here's the thing. Why can't the Blues close the series on first chance anymore? Is it the team being too casual or just bad decisions at bad times? And I want to ask this two ways. I want to ask your thoughts on this current team. But really, I mean, you guys have been in that locker room in these instances. Is it even remotely possible to get casual up 3-0? I mean, can you?
I don't think so. That's not why they lost the game, being casual or anything. You know, a couple of bad breaks go on. Realistically, what we said, they weren't ready to play. They weren't, you know, you get shot out at home in your closing game and it's 10-1 at one point. It's, you know, someone wasn't ready to play. But it's not casual. And I'll always go to this pendulum swinging in playoffs, and I will always do that. If, you know, Minnesota is at their last gasp of air here, or they're done, and they're going home. So they're giving you everything they got. And if you're not there to respond, then that's the way it goes. But it's not like you're going to sit there and take a casual night. You can't be casual in the play. It's go time. And all those players know that in there, and they tried. You know, they just didn't come up with the right. It just didn't go their way.
Well, I will agree that we didn't come out casual. But what happens here is we can't forget that we're playing another team, right? And their goal is to win. They want to win, too. They don't want to go quietly into the night. They don't want to be making their golf course reservations next week. They'd like to continue on here. They had a good season. They'd like to prove to the world that they're allowed to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, you know, maybe coupling a little bit of coming out maybe a little sluggish with them playing for their playoff lives. I think the combination ended up where you get a bad bounce. It ends up in your net, and now you're chasing the game against a team that really wants it bad. It's a tough combination. So now that they have that one under their belt, maybe the Blues now have that taste in their mouth of, you know, hey, you're not so great. Here's a little bit of a zing for you. Take a loss with you. And now we're back in this thing.
I think the biggest thing, too, is going, you know, you look at Dubinsky sitting in the net and gets the shutout. That guy there was fighting for confidence. He's both fighting for as much confidence as the red-faced man behind the bench. You know, they were looking for something to go their way. Realistically, they were looking for all the answers. And
he looked a lot better last night, too. He was big. He was solid. He was square to the shot. And he wasn't worried about referees making calls four-on-four and whatever. He was just making the save. So he is an elite goalie.
Yeah, you know what? And you look at Yo's interview after the game. They didn't get here by accident. They have almost 100 points in the season. So they're a very capable team. So you don't lay up on this nonsense at all. You got to be ready to roll. So it's you know, that's where they're at, and the Blues understand that. You know, these games are going to be decided by a play or two, a mistake or two here or there, and that's basically what they decided by in playoffs.
Well, and you got to remember too, nobody really truly expects to run the table in the playoffs.
No.
I mean, if anybody sat in this room and said, "Oh, we expect the Blues to go 16-0," come on, we'd be calling the funny farm and have them take away for, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, watching the game last night, that Minnesota team, the way they were skating, you could see why. Now, we know they had the issue. We talked at length about the issues that they had towards the end of the season. But you could see the speed and the skill that they had. They kind of kept the Blues on the outside. It almost looked like a reverse. A lot of our shots came from the outside. We didn't get a lot of shots through. One of the shots hit Sobotka. Anything on him today, Jamie? You got anything on him? He came back out. I mean, I'm assuming he's okay, but you never
know. Just a little bruise. It'd be fine. Yeah, I mean, he went through a lot worse in Russia, so he's fine over here, trust me.
You can attest, I guess?
I can attest that, they probably beat him with a stick after the game in Russia.
You know, when we sit here and talk about the Jake Allen play, the biggest play to me, when this all said and done, the game's over, and I was looking at it, when Pietrangelo walks down and cranks this guy near the end of the game, you got a momentum swing going here, and I'll be interesting when I go watch this game, the next game, that's going to help in the long run, because Minnesota's going to come out, and they're going to be mad, and they're going to say, does that go in their right favor for them, or do they take penalties, or do they, you know, but Petro stood up, and that's what playoffs are. Near the end of games, these things happen. And back in the old days, it might be a fight or something that got the momentum.
Might be. There'd have been a 5-on-5 out there, Kimby. Come on now.
So I'll be curious it was nice to see him do that. It's nice to see someone stand up in that sense. And now we'll be interested in who answers that. It's not like it's going to determine the game by any means, but it's just that can sway things a little bit here too, you know.
I like it. You know, I talked about it after Petro fed Hala his lunch there in Minnesota. I enjoy the fact that we have a guy who now is expanding his leadership role. And he doesn't have to do that all the time, and certainly he doesn't have to do it every game. And last night was a unique situation to where it's the end of the game. It all kind of fell right. He was, you know, moving in on the guy that was going to get the puck anyway. So why not lay into him a little bit and send a message and kind of set the tone and maybe get the emotions sparked in the locker room, maybe get a little jolt in that room a little bit.
You know, we had some fan interaction last night about the hits and people saying, ooh, he shouldn't have done that. And you know, I know we had talked about, like, come on, it's the playoffs. Like, but you know what? It should be, and the reason, and I didn't get into this, but it should be the other way around. And I like what you said. It should have been Pietrangelo saying, hey, yeah, we're going back to your building, but we're going to go ahead and show up. It ought to be the Blues that come out and take that physical presence against Minnesota and kind of sway it back. To your point, the pendulum kind of swinging back our way. I think if we come out, obviously, skate and hit a little bit, kind of get the momentum back in our favor, you know, whether the first 10 minutes, 5 minutes of the game, whatever it is you guys have heard talk about on the road, in the playoffs, get out there that first 5 minutes, get settled into the game, don't let them overwhelm you. I mean, would that be the recipe?
Well, for me, I talked about it just a little bit last night, but our forecheck has been very, very passive. And I'm sorry, in today's NHL, with the guys we have, with the speed that we have on our team, you get that puck in, and that first guy, that F1 we call him, or the hunter, as they call him these days, he's got to get in there, and no matter what, he's got to disrupt the guy getting the puck. He's got to run into him in some capacity or get a piece of the puck and really throw him off. And that way there, your next guy coming in has a chance at retrieving a loose puck, and now you can create zone time. You can create scoring chance off of that sometimes, but if nothing else, you get zone time, and then every time that defenseman goes back for the puck, he's looking over his shoulders, trying to find out who the hunter is on him, and at what point is he going to get taken out of the play. The last game, I really watched the breakouts, and they were breaking out with ease, or sometimes we were doing the hard rim, which... in today's NHL, very seldom does the hard rim work. It actually ends up being a breakout pass for the other team.
You want to describe the hard rim for us?
Gordy Roberts, call him up. He'll describe it for you.
Yeah. Hard rim would be a defenseman or a forward getting to the blue line and taking a slap shot all the way around the boards behind the net. But the goalies don't go out and play it anymore. They leave that because it picks up more speed, and it ends up basically going all the way back around to the other side of the blue line where someone just has to chip it out of the zone. So the best play nowadays is to chip it into what they call the gray areas, which is in the corners, forces a guy to go back there in a straight line, and he's got to go left or right. He doesn't have a lot of room to go, and especially if you have that F1 bearing down on him, he's got very little time to make a great play, and then he's got the second guy coming down the wall. So these are the areas you want to put the puck into to retain possession off a forecheck, but your forecheck has to be at full speed, Kimby.
Back in the day, Harold Sneffs and these guys that played, the hard rim was a winger's worst nightmare. Because that puck comes around and you have to pick it up off your skates part of the time. And so you're looking for the puck, and all of a sudden this defenseman's coming barreling down at you, and he's got to no good, and he's going to lay you out, you know.
See, that's what I don't see, is I don't see the defenseman step up when the puck comes all the way around the rim. I see them let them just take it right out, like no, they're worried they're going to get around them. I don't understand that.
The reason, because it's what Rives is telling you here. That's not what the game is about anymore. The game's about carrying momentum up and looking up ice, up the middle of the ice. They're trying to get away from that because teams like to focus over and take half the ice away. So you try to broaden this out so they can't sit there and pinch down on you now, or it's going to get caught and it's going to be a 2-on-1. So, you know, that's why you don't really see that as often. It's probably your last desperate play, and it's not even a hard rim anymore. They try to throw it up in the glass and get it the hell out now. That's your last play of the game.
That's your last play. Yeah, for sure. But I'll tell you what, if you got a team throwing it up off the glass like that, odds are you're retaining possession, at least
for
in
sure.
The neutral zone.
It's a possession game.
So it's a win-win at that point, right? You want to retain possession down low in their end or get possession in the neutral zone where you can turn your transition with speed and go back at them again. Yeah.
And I want to add on to not just that, but just I'll step outside here for a sec.
Well, please do. All the way outside.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. We got a cute little crew in here, so I got to stay here. So anyway.
You're scaring them.
The reason that I think the Blues, we got to get this out of the way here. The guys that we're talking about, Petro. We got to get Petro.
Well, all of a sudden, we're talking about him. Yeah. He's throwing me under the bus with him.
Let's go. And what I'm saying is let's get the playoffs. This series, you want to win it and get done because Petro, Jake Allen, these guys. It's good to go to battle here for 4 or 5 games, but the quicker you get it done with, the more rest the guys are playing 30 minutes. And if they go into overtimes, you're playing 40 minutes. And Petro and those guys, they're going to carry your D. Obviously, they're out there all the time. They're the guys that need it. It's not the third line, the fourth line. He's playing four lines, so they're staying fairly rested, you know.
One thing I will say, looking at the minutes played last night, and this is advantage Blues. I know we didn't win yesterday, but when you're talking about a playoff series, the Blues are spreading minutes out.
Yeah.
Very, very evenly amongst their forward lines. And when you look over at the Minnesota chart at the end of the game, they had three guys under 7 minutes of play.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two of them under 4 minutes of play in the game.
What did Suter have? He must have been, was he?
Well, Suter was up about 29 minutes. Yeah. He played a lot.
And back in the old day when we played these guys, when I was with Brian Sutter, you know, that we played against Ray Bork and these guys, the whole philosophy of playing them was you always dump the puck in their corner and then you run the hell out of them because they would just pay a price on them. And, you know, and Bubba had those big legs, you know, they to get them going again, it just wear you down. But that's the mentality. So if Gary Suter, if you're forcing him to play extra time in that's huge going down the road.
Yeah.
You know, what advice would you give to a nervous Blues fan right now?
The little man sitting beside me, the advice I give him, you got Jake Allen still. He's on top of the game. You know, they're playing well. The Blues are in every game, right? The way they're playing right now, the way Yo's got them playing right now, they're in every game. So it's going to come down to a scoring chance. The pressure's still on Minnesota. They're going home. The pressure's still on them. The Blues got a little wiggle room here yet. They'd like to get it done, but they still say, you know, we still got a few more games here. We're up in this game. So it's, you know, just stay calm. You're playing well, and we'll see what we got.
And then a lot of Blues fans are asking about Paul Stastny. He's obviously close because he's on the ice. You guys would probably say that doesn't necessarily mean anything, that these guys play through a lot of pain. Can he physically go in a hockey game? The question would be, is there any reason, if it is a rush, and I'm speculating purely here, and I know Jamie probably has more on this than anybody, but is there any reason to play him in Game 5 when all the pressure, as Darren said, is on them, and maybe Game 6 would be more appropriate?
Well, doctors have
if necessary, by the way.
Doctors have not cleared him, and that's usually a pretty big obstacle at this point because unless you're down 3-1 in the series or it's Game 7, most of the time the trainers and the players and that won't overstep the doctor's orders. So for me right now, I think it would be silly for them to try and force him in the lineup, and what if they got one game out of him and he re-injures himself and now he's done for the rest of the playoffs? What did we really get out of forcing him in the lineup? So the Blues won 3 games without him in this series. You know, there's no panic button necessary. They can win one game, one more without him again, and then let him get the proper therapy, the proper skating, all the stuff he needs to do, get that done properly for the next series so that he is a guy that we can actually utilize, that we're not just plugging in there and hoping he doesn't, you know, end up hurt again. So, you know, Kimby, I don't know. You might feel differently about it, but for me, if I'm looking at it as a GM, as a coach, right now I'm saying we don't panic. We get him healthy, and we use him later on.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's, you said, Rivs, they've won without him here. They're 3-1 without him. He's going forward. If they can get to the next round, that's where you really would want to start picking him up at. But there's no reason to bring him right now. That's just, and you know, you never know what these. I'm not saying this is what Yo's doing or not, but back in the old day, remember guys, they could barely walk and there was no chance they were playing, and the coach would make him go take warm up and trying to fool the other guy, you know, playing that.
Oh, like, yeah, Bill Belichick
move, you know.
He has bingo balls in the lines there in warm up just to mess up the other team. I know. They don't do that very much anymore.
He used to throw me out there a lot. He used to fool the other team.
Kimby got more ice time in warm up than any other player.
That is really rough. That's
all right.
There.
Worst part is when I played against him, I had to shadow him in warm up.
I went down the other end and I beat Riz 1-on-1 in a warm up.
I'm glad Yerkes in between you two here today.
Yerkes.
I see you've positioned him strategically so that
Yerkes' head is so big I almost can't see Kimball. So that tells me it's got to be a direct descendant of the Kimballs. Lucy Lake, Yerkes.
Lucy Lake,
Lucky Lake. That is the place. Well, obviously, as you guys are pointing out, I think rightfully so to Blues fans, which, you know, obviously I am one. We are up 3-1, even though, as Darren so eloquently put it, we may have gotten outplayed in some of those games.
Eloquently.
We still do hold the 3-1 advantage, and you would have to believe we could finish out. I'd like to see it done in Minnesota, but if we have to come back to St. Louis, that is the one thing we still have in our hip pocket, of course. But we'll see where it goes. And like I said,
one loss, Jim. That's it.
I'm good.
It's one loss.
I'm good.
At the poker table, do you ever quit with one hand loss?
One hand.
We didn't quit when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, did we?
Yeah, no.
All
we
in,
didn't
man.
Do it,
all
right?
Go.
All
he's
in.
On a roll.
All right, he's on a roll. Speaking of all in, we want to thank a lot of supporters that helped make the show what it is. Our St. Louis Youth Hockey Report is such a big part of the show. We understand. It's a fabric of the community, with Jamie especially being involved, Darren as well. They've done so much coaching and helping of the young people that are out there, these people that want to be a part of the show. NelsonLandServices.com, Darren and Jamie's good friend Scott Nelson and his family. Great people within the community, highly involved in the hockey scene here. They've reached out to us and asked us to help people find them at nelsonlandservices.com. Growing their business here in St. Louis, they're so prominent down in the lake area. I guarantee you've driven by and seen some of the beautiful work that they do. Check them out, though, at nelsonlandservices.com. You can give them a call at 636-244-5651. They are a professional landscaping, five-star locally rated landscaping company. They do everything at reasonable cost as well. Scott Nelson's the owner. They provide competitive lawn service at affordable rates and top-notch professional lawn service. Nelson Land, the only name in landscaping you're going to need to know. Check it out, nelsonlandservice.com. You're going to be really impressed with the type of work that they do. And again, they wanted to support the show. They're so big in the hockey community. We're asking you to support them. Of course, another big contributor, which your guys are going to hear time and time again on the airwaves here in St. Louis, good friend Sean Vincent of Jamie's and Darren's both. Vincent Mortgage wanted to be a part of the show as well, and we're happy to have him. You can chat live with a loan officer at vincentmortgage.com. Get the information you need instantly. Visit vincentmortgage.com and click chat with a mortgage expert. You can connect live and in real time to one of their professional loan officers. They can help you figure out the best way to reach your family's financial goals. 2017, buy yourself a new home. It takes less than 5 minutes to get pre-approved. You know the number, 314-839-9999, or simply visit vincentmortgage.com. Jamie, obviously Synergy Hockey is a big supporter of the show and a big supporter of youth hockey. Our two young guests who we're going to get to now in studio, when young Mason was here, he had mentioned that his extent so far to this point of hockey has been through the Little Blues. They had said that one of your guys, Lubos Bartechko, who I know is a part of Synergy Hockey, was who he was on the ice with. I asked Sophia if she was playing hockey yet. Not yet. And she's shaking her head at me. So I'm not sure about that. Sophia, I think we're ready for you. So Jamie, what do we got to do to get her in a uniform at a Little Blues clinic?
Well, it would be pretty easy. We could get her in a uniform on Friday night, this Friday.
Uh-oh.
And then you'd have the next 5 weeks in a row, every Friday night at 6 o'clock, to where you could skate with the Little Blues program that is girls only. And in this program, we have, obviously, a lot of little girls learning to skate and play hockey. And we have about 6 or 7 girls from the McKendree college team that are going to be out there with Coach Derek Pallardy. And he's going to be assisting along with his players in helping little girls learn how to skate and how to play hockey. So that is an opportunity right there. And then, of course, there's other opportunities throughout the summer with learn to plays and learn to skates in your areas. But we'd love to see you get out to one of those Little Blues camps, that's for sure.
Now, Sophia, I know you're a hooper. You love your basketball, okay? And your dad's a big basketball fan as well, but he's also a big hockey fan, and we know that's how you learned all about the sport. Are you ready to start playing some hockey?
Well...
No pressure.
I don't know how to skate.
Well, that's what Jamie's for.
Yeah, but my dad never takes me out on the ice or anything.
Chris, what's wrong with you?
We play a lot of basketball.
I mean, hey, I just taught Mr. Kimball how to skate, so
yes,
anything's possible.
He just seen me saying that, and I was coming right there. I was coming.
After years spent in the NHL, Darren knows how to skate now, thanks to Jamie. See, Jamie can help you with this, Sophia. Are you
Nothing
ready?
Nothing is impossible.
Yeah.
She's ready. Okay, she's ready.
All right.
Chris, she's ready. Did you hear this?
I'll do whatever she wants
to
do.
Oh, there
we go.
Like,
right.
Spoken like a true father. I'll do whatever my daughter says. So, Sophia, let's start with you. You're 8 years old, correct?
Yeah.
Have you been a Blues fan your whole life?
Yes.
Who's your favorite player?
Tarasenko.
Oh, well, that's surprising.
The Tarasenko.
Now, why do you like Tarasenko?
Mostly because he... Well...
Scores goals.
You can say it. We all know.
Yeah.
He scores those goals, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he scores them really fast.
Yes, he shoots the puck really well. So, see, if you come out and learn how to skate, mm-hmm. right, maybe you could do that. What do you think of that?
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we've seen your pictures, so you've got a stick, you've got all the gear. Mm-hmm. You can practice that shooting at home. My guess is that's how Vladimir Tarasenko learned how to shoot, was mm-hmm. practicing when he was little, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Let's add all this up. You're a big Blues fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a great Blues jersey, right?
Yes.
You've got an awesome stick.
Yes.
You got an awesome dad who loves the Blues.
Yes.
I think that's all. And you got Jamie to teach you how to skate. What else do we need? Your mom's all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else we need?
We need...
Skates?
Yes.
Okay, that's what we need. We need some skates.
Mr. Right. Kimball will buy you some.
He's going to get some golf shoes today. Can you pick up some skates for him?
Golf shoes.
Let me ask you a question, though.
It's curling shoes.
I've known her dad for probably 10, 15 years.
Yes.
And you think that I would be your favorite player. But look at this. Isn't this something else?
Yeah. So wait a minute. I was curious
Tarasenko,
about that.
Kimball, it's almost the same.
No, no, no.
She'd probably be skating already if she's seen me.
I don't know that he's necessarily. Listen, let's paint the picture for you
here. Yeah, she figured if he can skate, anybody can.
I don't know that Darren's necessarily on Sophia about Tarasenko. I think it's Chris. See, Chris has worn in his Winter Classic Brett Hull jersey. I think Darren was anticipating that he was going to wear his 39 Kimball jersey. Chris, what happened there?
They don't make
39.
They don't make one. What do you mean?
I never wore 39.
Oh, 29. I'm sorry. 29.
39. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wrong guy. I'm sorry.
Me like that.
Oh, wrong guy.
Whenever he buys me one, let's just put that.
Whoa.
Jim, what happened was when you actually buy an authentic Kimball jersey, the problem is that most people it just slides back over their shoulders. The neck hole has to be custom made so large to fit Darren's head in there.
There's a man with three strands of hair on his head.
Okay. Most people end up wearing it as a skirt.
So, Sophia, your dad tells me that you watch all the games as long as they're before your bedtime, right? And then my guess is you may sneak in a little after bedtime. But you said last night it got late for you. You fell asleep. What do you think about the Blues? How are they doing?
Well, until last night, they were doing pretty good. They won three games. They were doing pretty good.
Okay, so they did lose last night, which we're still their fans, right? We love them no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to win this next game?
Well, we have to see.
Okay, so what do they have to do for us to win this game?
They have to play good and practice more.
Practice more.
More practice.
Well, if everybody was listening to the show today, they're going to have an extra day to get some more practice in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you confident they're going to win? Like, do you think they're going to win this thing?
Yes.
Do you want to see the Blues win a Stanley Cup?
Yes.
Would the parade be really cool?
Mm-hmm.
It would. Would you go?
Yes.
What if there was school?
No.
I'll play hockey again.
Oh, no!
Man, now that's a Blues fan
right
there.
Wait. I heard again.
Again. Well.
What's up with that?
Well, this show is being recorded at 10 a.m. on a Thursday.
Right. I'm playing hockey today.
I'm watching Dad go,
Did you hear?
Yeah,
what are you doing today?
I'm playing hooky.
No,
we have a sore throat.
We have a sore. You don't feel well today. And Dr. Kimball and Dr. Rivers.
There you go. Yes. Well played.
Dr. Rivers and Dr. Kimball are taking care of you today, so that's good.
Yes.
All right, Sophia. So we've got it on record. You're saying the Blues are going to win this series, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you pass the microphone over to your little buddy there, to your left.
Chrome's struggling with that one.
I'm going to get my right and left messed up here. So let's welcome in Mason Gilbert. Mason, we talked to you a little bit earlier. A lot of our Blues fans know who you are because you wrote a wonderful letter to Jake Allen when things weren't going so well for him, and he really appreciated it. And it just so happened that after you wrote this letter to him, he got his confidence back, and he's been playing some unbelievable hockey. Do you feel like, you know, meeting Jake and talking to him, that you helped him get his confidence back?
Uh-huh.
It was very important, I would think. Now, your family, okay, has obviously a big role in your life. Now, your dad helped you with all of that. You want to tell us a little bit about how you come up with the idea to do the letter?
I didn't really have the idea. So my mom and sister, they were going to the Blues and Jets game. I wrote the note. It said, like, Jake Allen, you are a great goalie. I hope you can do it tonight.
It sounds like he's the one that orchestrated this, Chrome. So
I think so.
I think the young man's trying to be generous and give it to others.
You know what? He's been a good teammate. Yes. He's passing it around, but we know what's going on here.
Yes.
Good job, Ed.
Take credit, young man.
Good job.
So we saw the picture, okay, but it's obvious the most important person saw the picture when your dad put it out on social media, and that was Jake Allen. How did you find out that Jake saw your picture?
I don't really know.
Well, let's bring your dad in here because this is probably an adult thing. So let's bring your dad in here, Scott Gilbert. Scott, obviously you helped Mason with this. This is a big undertaking for a five-year-old, so pretty impressive. And he's an impressive kid, obviously very genuine, caring fan.
How old is Mason again?
5.
5 years old. My goodness. I'll tell you what, son. You are doing really good at this, okay?
Yeah.
So you'd be proud of yourself. The letter and being here talking to us.
So, yeah, so it's obviously a family affair here. The whole family's here in studio. You know, dad, Scott, son Mason, sister Taylor, mom Robin, just obviously big fans.
With a
and
Y.
Just,
with a Y.
With a Y, Robin, with a Y. And I got that right, by the way. So tell us a little bit, if you want to help your boy out there a little bit, because obviously there was some back stuff going on here. How did Jake see the picture and kind of tell us what went on from there?
Well, as he said, you know, I think it was January 31st, my wife and daughter were going to the game that night. I think the Blues were playing the Jets. And we were sitting in the kitchen. We had obviously been following what was happening with the goaltending in the last few weeks. And I turned to him and I said, hey, you know, it'd be really neat if we could send a note somehow to Jake Allen. And he was in right away. He said, yeah, let's send a note. What could we do? And so we were sitting in the kitchen. They had just left to go down to the stadium. And we said, well, let's get a Sharpie out and a piece of printer paper and I'll hold your hand. And,
yeah.
And we started just writing some simple sentences. And we kept it very simple and said, well, we'll put it on Twitter and in which, you know, he's only 5 and still not quite sure what all that is.
Yeah, sure.
Someday he will, but I guess.
Let's wait as long as possible, right?
Please, yes. But we put it on there, and right away the Blues got wind of it. The NHL got wind of it. They had contacted me. And then to answer your question earlier, we found out that Jake did see it through his girlfriend Shannon,
right,
who contacted me, and so that's kind of where it all catapulted and took off, and from there it was, you know, just we started to see some things turn around, and he was very excited to see all this take place, and so it was. It's been a great experience. He goes to all the practices at the Mills, everyone that he can, and then things kind of started happening from there too.
Okay, so Mason, now we can get back to the fun stuff. So Jake sees this. Obviously, we've seen some stuff on social media. You really, like, it really touched Jake that you had the support and it gave him confidence. I think we'd all agree, right, Jamie?
You betcha.
So Jamie reaches out to you, and you actually get to go meet Jake, and you've brought some really cool stuff in here. So tell us a little bit about what you got to do with Jake.
I just got to, like, follow the, like, the Scott Trade Center, the private practice. So Jake brought me down to the locker room, and like he got to get a tour of the locker room too, and he got to like go to see the Blues like locker room and all of like that stuff, and like he saw got to saw like the little like. The little pools and all of that kind of stuff.
That locker room's pretty big, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's pretty neat, huh? What was your favorite part of the locker room?
And he got to saw the stick room.
What was your favorite part of the locker room?
I kind of liked all of it.
The whole thing, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't blame you, buddy. It's pretty cool in there.
So now you and Jake Allen are officially friends, right?
Uh-huh.
And he showed his appreciation to you, obviously with his friendship and thanking you for your support. But he sent you some pretty nice gifts, and you've brought a couple of them here today. Why don't you tell our listeners a couple of the things that you have?
Like, I have, like, a signed card.
A signed card. That's really cool.
A goalie stick.
Now, that looks like that's actually Jake's. Is that actually Jake's stick?
Uh-huh.
Game used, and he signed it for you.
Oh, that's authentic for sure.
Yeah, that's for real. And then you've got this really cool thing sitting over here in front of you. What is that?
A glove.
That's his glove?
Uh-huh.
And he signed it?
Uh-huh.
He must really think you had a lot to do with helping him. And really, it's the support, right? And is that what the fans should be doing right now, is just supporting the team and don't be nervous?
Uh-huh.
So do you think the Blues are going to win this series?
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to ask you a really dumb question that sometimes adults ask, and I'm really good at this,
yeah,
asking dumb
Jim's
questions.
Really dumb.
I'm going to ask you, who's your favorite? I asked Sophia, right? Now, and she's in trouble because Chris didn't teach her that Darren Kimball's supposed to be her favorite player. Exactly. Now, you, on the other hand, who is your favorite player?
Jake Allen.
Jake Allen, as Vote for Rivers was over here.
I was so close. I heard Jay.
Yeah, and I thought it was going to be Jamie Rivers.
Not Jake Allen, but I get it.
I would think so. So you've obviously had a lot to do with it. And you know what? Here's what we believe. You guys don't realize how much the players pay attention to you guys. You guys, go ahead, Darren.
I was trying to add on this, which is so neat about this story. And you know, people are listening, and it's not this young man. He's had to have this connection. Like, I used to sit there with Brett Hall, and I'd walk into Susie Matthews' office, and her office was full of letters that was Holly was getting all the time. And you know, and people are going through it, and obviously Jake's girlfriend's going through this, and she's the one that caught it. But the relationship, because you can't obviously give a glove out and a stick out to everybody out there.
Sure.
And that's the unfortunate thing. But people that are of a young age, of a young little boy that took – that's what makes the hockey players, you know, they come – we have fun to go to the rink, but this is what it's all about. You know, you give back to these little kids, and if they're an idol of any sort, Jake's got a fan for life, and – that's what it's all about. Just, you know, and, you know, that's why you said, and this is just a little bit off, not the thing, but, you know, a lot of these hockey players go to the hospitals and that, and you visit these kids, and that's what it's all about. And so you got a special connection because you can't do this for everybody. So they've obviously found something in his letter that touched his heart, and he was going through a tough thing, and this was a little momentum for him. So it's kind of neat to see.
Well, one thing I'll say for sure, and, you know, Jim, you've been around it long enough now, and Darren, obviously, we've lived this life since we were his age and younger, is the hockey players have always been great with fans. I mean, as a young kid, I remember meeting Guy Lafleur, which is, you know, a name, a blast from the past. He was in line at the bank with me and my dad. And I looked over, and it was Guy Lafleur, and he took time, and he put his arm around me. You know, we didn't have camera phones, but he signed a little piece of paper for me. And took the time to do it. And, you know, after he was done, my dad had said to me, make sure that you do the same thing when you grow up. You know, don't ever ignore the kids. Make sure that they all get their autographs. Make sure you take the time to do that. And this is just another, you know, real special moment where Jake got a great letter from our little buddy here. And then, you know, took the time to say thank you, which he can't do for everybody. But, you know, not everybody has a piece of material or a letter or something that's inspiring to all these guys. They appreciate it, but something like this, obviously, he used as a starting point to kind of get back at it. And so it's a great moment here between the hockey player and the fan, and certainly I think we'll all remember it for probably forever.
And the good thing, and what Riz is saying about when he met Guy, when I was about 4 years old, I met Bobby Hall, and my dad was into the cattle business, and Bobby and his brother Dennis were into the bulls and all that, And I hid behind my dad's leg. I wouldn't go around to see the man. But I was 4 years old, and I never knew I was going to go play in the National Hockey League. But he took the time to try to, you know, say hi to me and everything. And so that meant the world to me because in Canada growing up, we watched it on TV. So to make a – and that was a connection that I made, and I get to play the son later on in life, which is kind of weird how it all works out. But you never know what can happen. You've made a connection, and if that inspires you to be – a hockey player, maybe, I don't know, or something else. You never know what it's going to be, but it's just a neat little feeling where you get to, you know, have this feeling with a top performer in the National Hockey League.
Well, it seems like hockey kind of goes out of its way to find a way to have fan interaction, like with the practices. You know, you heard the Gilbert family talk about it. You know, Chris's connection with the Blues and knowing kind of thing. These kids these days. Now, they can't just hop on the ice, but they can get to things and be around some of their favorite players in that setting, thanks to them having the understanding at the ownership level of how important that is. You know, we started this whole segment talking about Synergy Hockey's involvement in the St. Louis youth scene. Again, it was Mason mentioning to me that he's already started in the Little Blues program, and Lubos Bartechko, who's part of your thing. And then, you know, the way that the whole scene has changed over the years. I'm looking at Sophia here, and if she really wanted to do hockey, which, again, Chris is back here punching me in the ribs because he knows how much hockey equipment is. But the truth of the matter is, as it's changed, if she really wanted to do this with women's hockey taking off the way it has, you mentioned McKendree's women's hockey program. I mean, it's something that has changed so much that if she really wanted to do this, there's so much out there for her. And a lot of that has to do, and I don't know, I only live in St. Louis. Is it like this in every NHL city?
I played in a lot of them, but I tell you what, for me, you know, St. Louis has got a real special vibe to it, and it's part of the reason I'm still here. Born in Ottawa, Canada, left home at 15 to go to Sudbury, came here at 18 to St. Louis, so it's not like, you know, I was destined to be living in St. Louis for the rest of my life. Met some great people here, and quite honestly, it's the people that surround the game in St. Louis, and can be, you know, you ended up here as well, and we all have different little reasons, and we all in different little areas that we live in, but, you know, the common denominator seems to be the city of St. Louis, and we're not the only ones. There's, you know, 30, 40 guys that have made home here in St. Louis that aren't born and raised in St. Louis, so it's a special town for sports, I certainly, obviously, for the Cardinals, but the fans, the Blues fans, are really, really special to their players, and they do a great job of making us feel very warm and welcome here.
And I think if you get into the hockey fan, it's a smaller group, but it's how loyal they are, and it goes on in other places. And hockey player, and I'm not knocking anybody, but hockey players, and I'll refer to it like the Phil Mickelson. When you listen to Phil Mickelson in golf, he has the Arnold Palmer philosophy that sign all these things. You know, the hockey players come out and they'll sit there and sign these things, you know, everything, and that's just the appreciation that I know back in my time, and I know they still do it. But that's what you like to give back to the fans, because they're the ones that you're here for, realistically. If they're not here, we're not here. So that's what it was, the loyalty part. And St. Louis has been, it's like a small town. And it's got that small town atmosphere that, you know, everyone sort of gets to be a buddy-buddy system. And it's pretty neat little atmosphere you got.
Well, Mason, you did a great job. You did a great thing. I know that, you know, obviously I don't speak for Jake Allen, but I can speak for the St. Louis fans when we say thank you, because your letter obviously inspired him. And you're showing him that you believed in him at a time when maybe he didn't believe in himself very much, probably did a lot for his confidence. So I hope you understand that. You're on your way to being a great young man that kind of understands things at a young age. So it's obvious you've got a great family that supports you. So our hope is on this show that you keep playing hockey, you keep skating, and you become what you want to be and enjoy the game of hockey. So I'm sure Jamie will be looking for you at the next Little Blues thing, right, Jamie?
Absolutely.
And
I won't forget you.
Okay, and now let's so Mason, thank you for being on the show today.
You don't have to be scared about that.
Yeah, do you have anything else for us before we turn the mic over to Sophia? Anything you want to say?
No, he might have been struggling, but he had his baby. Maybe he's maybe feeling like a little bit bad, maybe.
A little tired.
If hockey doesn't work out, maybe he could be the psychiatrist.
Yeah, maybe.
There could be money in that ball game.
Looks like you might make some good grades there.
If I give you my phone, would you call my wife?
Well, Mason, I tell you what, you are wise beyond your years, my man. As you've mentioned a couple things today that Mr. Rivers and Mr. Kimball have talked about on this very show before. So you keep it up. We're going to follow you in your years here. And like I said, you keep going to those clinics, and we'll keep getting updates from Mr. Rivers on how you're doing on the ice. How's that sound?
You guys keep being Blues fans, too.
Yeah. Now, Sophia, you want to hand it over to Sophia? So, Sophia, don't you forget now, okay? If you want to do this hockey thing, Mr. Rivers is here to take care of you, okay?
Okay.
And your dad, even though he's punched me 3 times in the ribs, is all in on this. Right, Chris?
All in.
All in, baby.
Okay, so if you want to learn how to skate and you want to play hockey, know this. Mr. Henson, who your dad knows as well, is the McKendree Bearcats Division II men's hockey coach. They have an unbelievable women's program, too, right? And they work with you, right, through some of the stuff you're doing?
Absolutely.
So there are more opportunities than ever for young ladies like yourself. If you really love the sport and you really want to do it, okay, you can do it.
Okay.
So, all right, so we're going to get you on that ice.
Before we go any further here, we've had a very patient sister in the background. I want to get her up here. She looks like a big Blues fan. I said, be Blues fan. She gave the fist pump up in the air. Jump in on that mic. Tell us what your name is, how old you are, and who your favorite player is.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I'm Taylor. I'm 9 years old, and my favorite player is Tarasenko.
Oh! I really thought, you know.
Okay, now you can sit down.
I'm joking. Don't listen to him. Jeez. He'd be the only female in his life that listened to him.
I got to ask you, can anybody campaign any harder than this going on. Did you even catch this going over
She's
here?
She's like,
when he
I don't even
this?
Know who that guy is.
She doesn't
is.
Even know what that means.
It was Blake Shelton.
She doesn't even know what that means.
I'll take it.
Blake won't.
Here, let's try this one last time. Let's get your mom on here because she's obviously a great lady. Hop on here real quick, Robin. Try this. Okay, Robin, you're a Blues fan?
I am, absolutely.
Okay. And who?
Don't do it.
And who is your favorite player?
I have to say Jake Allen.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God.
God bless you. God bless you.
I thought for sure we might have been perfect, you know, the demographic, the age, you know, like...
Okay, we've only got like one or two guys left in here to try.
Forget it, I give up. I can only ice down my feelings for so long here.
So I mentioned earlier that I've been friends with Sophia's dad for quite some time. I know Darren, you met him when you moved to Granite City. He's a great sports guy, and I got to tell you, I have known him for a long time. He is that guy that everybody in the community, like he's so big in his community and trying to do great things, and he's always so supportive. And he's a great sports guy. Like, he loves sports in general, right? And he can talk about any sport with knowledge and passion. So let's try this one more time. McCullough.
No,
you've watched hockey
do
for
it.
A long
don't
time.
Don't do it.
Who is your favorite player?
I got three.
Oh. No, that's a cop-out. We don't allow cop-outs on this show. Who is your favorite player?
Al McInnes and Brett Hall.
That's two. You said three.
The third one's right here.
My favorite poker player is Darren Kimball.
There you go. There it is, right there. God. All right, so
that doesn't count. Right,
so that was
I'm a great horseshoe
so
player.
So that was one of two.
You're a horse's ass, you said.
So all right,
a ringer.
This is Jamie. I got to be honest. This is your last chance. So we heard from Mason's dad Scott earlier, but we didn't ask him.
You guys aren't bringing up Yerky here. Yerky's been looking at me the whole time. I think I'm his favorite.
So we didn't ask Scott, Mason's father, who his favorite player was. So this is your last chance. So, Scott, if you want to hop on the mic
there. I got to say this. The SLU golf team is my favorite.
So, okay. Scott.
Thank you very much.
So, Scott, you've been a Blues fan for how long?
I have been a Blues fan since I've been probably Mason's age.
And you don't want to show your age, so you're just going to say a long time?
I can say I'm 47 years old.
And that's right in my wheelhouse.
Grew up in Bridgeton and listening to Dan Kelly and Gus Kyle and little transistor radio that I used to have. I'd have to go to bed early on late game nights, but I'd hide that transistor radio underneath my pillow and listen to the games. And hockey runs in our family, and we've got Nets in the family room. So I've got.
You're a big historian of the game. So, like today, what we've had is we've heard from the young minds, obvious choices, and Tarasenko and Allen and this, and then we found out today that somebody's favorite poker player is Darren Kimball.
He is a dinosaur.
So, being a historian of the game, and you've seen many years of Blues hockey here in St. Louis, and certain guys in the room have played for years. Who would be your favorite player?
Well,
I
actually have three as well.
Oh, so you're going to cop out as well?
I know.
Go ahead.
I have.
Please
three.
Let me get the podium. On the podium.
I have three as well. So I've always been a fan of the rough stuff.
And look at him over here smiling.
I know where he's going. There's a chance.
My number one is Ryan Reeves. Reeves is and number two is Chaser. I caught the number.
If he says your name now, it don't mean nothing. No.
I caught the number switch earlier. The 39 and 29.
Yeah, I screwed that up. I'm gonna pay hell for
Rivers
that too.
Jay,
by the way,
same thing. Rivers J, same thing.
I did lead the NHL in hits one year. Let's not forget that.
And my third one is going to be Jamie Rivers.
Oh. Yeah! Winner, winner, chicken dinner. He gets to take Yerky home with him. In fact, take Kimball home with you.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Mason, Daddy will explain later.
Well, I
go
can tell you,
golf.
You know what? This is what we do here. Everybody leaves here happy. Everybody leaves here joyous. This is a great thing. Before we go, last thing for you two guys. What do you see happening here?
Kimby, go ahead. Lead the way here. I want to be Debbie
seconds.
Downer for a change.
30 seconds.
No,
what do you see happening here?
It's all about momentum to me right now, and it's. I think the first period is going to be a big point for the Blues. If they can answer Minnesota's call, I think that's going to help the Blues out here. But I think the Blues have to be ready to go in the first period, or it could be trouble.
See, I'm going to agree with Kimby. I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to say it's all about the momentum headed into game five here. A little play on words. Our fans at home can hashtag momentum.
But yeah, the Blues got to get going early and often in Minnesota. Got to get shots on net. Got to give themselves a chance to win the game early, at least be a part of it. Jake Allen's fantastic, but we certainly can't rely on him for every single game. So boys got to get it together, come out hard, and if they're even or better by the halfway point in that game, I predict that they win game five.
Well, we have a term for that around here, and it's called yoasted. So let's get that. let's get yoasted. So really great stuff. Appreciate both you guys, as I always do, and I know our fans do as well. And we want to remind everybody to make sure they check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at STLBluesPodcast. Go into Facebook and just type in Blues NHL Podcast. We're asking you to like our page. And when you see some stuff, just share it around in an effort for us to reach all the great Blues fans out there. For everyone out there that's nervous, don't be. You heard it right here today. The Blues are going to take care of this. You heard it from the veterans, from the guys that played, and you heard it from the Miles of Babes. The Blues got this. I know that the guys would tell you that when they played the game, they paid attention to these young fans and what they did and how they supported them, and it meant a lot to them. So we can't leave here without getting our two newest members of the show to give us the loudest on three. Let's go Blues. That's how we end the show. You guys ready? You guys ready? One, two, three.
Let's go Blues.
See you on the ice.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.